everyone, welcome back. Yes, it's been a while and I feel bad because I did promise that I was going to try to be releasing podcasts every week, but guys, please just bear with me because, like I said, I am still in my, you know, phase of healing. I'm not quite there yet. Anyways, how's everyone doing? So today I really didn't have anything much planned out, but there's just so much to talk about. The things that have crossed my mind that I've actually said, you know, I'm going to talk about that in my podcast, but you know, I haven't quite had the chance to. And so today I think I'm just going to pick one of those topics that I thought to myself I would talk about, and that's bullying. Now recently back in Nigeria, there's been a really huge issue, something that happened about a child that, you know, I don't want to use certain words in my podcast, but a child that was bullied, and he was bullied to the point where he, you know, lost his life. Yeah. And it's very sad because this was an 11-year-old child in secondary school. Secondary school is high school in the US, and he was bullied by his seniors, so people, you know, people who were like maybe about 3-4 years ahead of him. And it's very sad because, yes, as much as most of us were shouting, and of course I really was very saddened by what happened, I thought to myself, really and truly, bullying exists almost everywhere and has always existed for a long time. And it got me to a point where I reflected on my secondary school experience as well. Now, I personally wasn't really bullied. And when I say really bullied, maybe I just should say I wasn't bullied to the extent that some other people were, because really, almost everybody was bullied. And I think that's usually even how some bullies are birthed. Now, it was a normal thing. We literally almost saw it as, well, it's normal, you know, like seniors would bully you. You have to be afraid of your seniors. You have to be afraid of sometimes even people in your, like, you know, in your set, as we call it. So basically your own mates, you'd have to be afraid. And it just made me feel bad. And now that I have a child, it makes me worried. I'm like, is this how it happens everywhere? You know, I'm now paranoid about it. Like, is this what happens? Do seniors just bully? And when I was growing up, let me actually talk about my growing experience. When I was growing up, the boys suffered bullying the most. And that's why I say maybe mine was just not as bad, because I was, you know, a girl. And with girls, yes, there was bullying, but our bullying was more in forms of, to be honest, I don't really want to downgrade any form of bullying, but it was in forms of punishment. And I remember one time, for no reason at all, just merely walking past a classroom that belonged to senior students, and they called me and my friends and gave us brooms and told us to sweep the class. Now, we didn't see it as bullying. We saw it more as, well, you know, because you're a senior, you have to tell us what to do. But now that I'm older, I realized that things like that was actually bullying. Like, how do you just call other children, and just because you feel you're older than they are, you ask them to do something that, you know, they really should not be doing at that point in time? Like, oh, come and sweep. Like, you know, giving them chores to do in classroom. And I remember I defended myself. I remember I actually pushed back and said, no, I did not want to sweep. And I was probably going to get beaten up that day. I just remember. And I was so bold and confident. I was just like, no, I'm not going to sweep. I do not want to sweep. You know, because they don't even factor in the fact that some people could be allergic to the dust and all those things. You know, they really wouldn't know. But, you know, these are the dangers of it all. And I just said, no, I don't want to sweep. And then they kept shouting at me and cursing me out and saying all sorts of things to me. And I just stood my ground. No, I'm not sweeping. I didn't say anything back to them because they were my seniors, right? So I just stood there while they were cursing me out. And the good thing that happened for me was my brothers or something. And my brothers are like 10 and 8 years older than me, so they're like way, way older than me, right? So they weren't even in secondary school at the time when I was in secondary school. And they came to pick me up from school. And so when they came to pick me, and they literally drove, they were looking for me because they couldn't find me where I should have been waiting for them. And then they drove and got to, like, you know, looking around, and I saw them and I waved from the window of the classroom and they came. And these girls were just quiet. Yeah, that's just one of my own experiences. And it's just something that I think the culture, so I don't know what it is. I don't even want to blame the culture, but it's so rampant. It is so rampant in Nigeria, and nobody talks about it. Everyone just keeps quiet. Everyone's just, you know, like it's nothing. The boys, oh my goodness. See, some of the things the boys went through, I even knew about them. They're too much for me to even say on my podcast without being afraid that it's going to affect something. Like, I'm going to hint you guys. Boys would make little, you know, they're little junior boys. So JSS 1 is junior secondary school 1, and SSS, really, it should be SSS 1, is senior secondary school 1. And the SS 1 boys, we call it SS 1 and JS 1. The SS 1, or sorry, SS 3 even, because there's JS 1 to 3, and then there's SS 1 to 3. So SS 3 boys would call the little boys in JS 1 or JS 2. And bear in mind that secondary school starts from about age 10. So we're talking about 10, 11-year-olds, maximum 12-year-olds. And, you know, the SS3 boys were between, let's say, 15, 16, 17, even 18-year-olds. Now calling these little boys, asking them to kneel down, maybe on gravel or something, really punishing them for no reason at all. They would just tell them to face the wall. And the worst one of it all that I'm afraid to say, we were aware that some of these boys were made to, what's the word? I'm looking for a word that they were made to kind of fondle themselves in front of these senior boys. Like, that was the most traumatizing thing they did to these boys. And I don't know how that was even seen as normal. You know, it really does break my heart. And so when I heard about this child back in Nigeria that lost his life, my mind just went back to all of those things that happened when I was in secondary school, and how, you know, we were lucky that some of us didn't lose our lives. You know, and there really does need to be a change. There needs to be a change. I didn't come on this podcast to complain about my country, but there needs to be a change. And it's sad that at the moment, the way the case is going, trust me, clearly no justice is going to be served. And it's just so sad. Yeah, I think I should just end there, because honestly, I don't even know what I'm talking about with these people. I'm just not happy about that. But that's it. So now back to my own side of things with my podcast. I'm wondering, how can we stop this for the future generation? How do we teach children not to be bullies? Because I don't think any child is born with a bullying gene. There has to be something. And I believe, I'm not an expert at this, but I believe that it still comes down to the families and how families are oriented. And how, you know, if you're in a family where there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of bitterness and fighting and shouting and, you know, cursing at each other, I think there's a high chance that a child from such a family is going to probably turn out being a bully. And that's because they've learned that, you know, expressing anger in unhealthy ways is the right thing. They've learned that cursing at people is the right thing. They've learned that beating up people is the right thing. And so that's what they know. And so these are the children that probably will end up being bullies and probably teach other children to be bullies one way or another. And so I'm going to get somewhere with this. If your family, you know, if you're a man or a woman and you have an unhealthy relationship with your partner and you have children, I think you owe them a duty to, you owe it to them to either fix your relationship or walk away from your relationship. It is so unfair to your children to stay in a toxic marriage because you're afraid of the shame that comes with a divorce, for example, or the shame that comes with a failed marriage, or the shame that comes with... That shame is nothing compared to the damage you're doing to your children by teaching them toxicity. And so I think I'll just wrap this up here because I don't want to be going around in circles, but I think this is the point I really wanted to hit on today, that I think the Nigerian culture has this so embedded in it because there's so many marriages. When I say so many, I think it's even a norm to be in an unhealthy marriage back in Nigeria, because most people are afraid of what people will say. Most people don't want the quote unquote stigma of divorce and things like that. I'm sorry, like, it's just ridiculous if you decide to stay in an unhealthy marriage and teach your child the opposite of love. Now, I personally believe in teaching my child love. I do have a lot of love within me. And if I am with someone who does not reciprocate that love, who does not believe in showing love, who does not, you know, who doesn't even understand how to teach my child love, or show love, because you don't teach love, you don't tell your child, make sure you love everyone. No, you have to love your child. You have to be the exemplary figure of love for that child to follow. And if I find that someone I'm with, or you know, the father or someone, is not showing that, is not that, has no emotions, has no emotional connections, I'm sorry, I'm not going to risk my life, my child's life being ruined by that. And so I'll walk away, because it's better, like, I would rather be by myself with my child in a very happy home where we really do enjoy peace and love, where our home is our solace, our home is the place we come to when the day is bad, you know, rather than being afraid in your own home and things like that. That's where I'm trying to get to. That, yes, when they say charity begins at home, it really does begin at home. And if your home is not healthy, you either fix it or you get out of it. And, you know, for the sake of your children, you don't stay in an unhealthy marriage for the sake of your children. That is selfish. You stay in an unhealthy marriage for the sake... Sorry, you stay in a healthy marriage, rather. And you leave an unhealthy marriage for the sake of your children. That's what a responsible parent does, in my opinion. Selfishness is not responsible parenting. A responsible parent should realize that once you give birth to a child, you have to be selfless, because that child now depends on you for everything until they turn 18 or until they become adults. And so you have to be ready to drop your own needs and put your child's needs before yours, and make sure that your child grows up in a healthy environment. I think that's where I'm going to. I hope, you know, everyone gets what I'm trying to say. This is not a long podcast. This is almost a rant, but, you know, just something that I feel I needed to get out there with my own voice. And yeah, thank you for listening to this point if you did. And I really do hope you enjoyed listening. And yeah, you can find my podcasts, if you would like to subscribe, on Google, Apple, Spotify, Radio US, Castbox, and wherever else you get your podcasts streamed. Thank you guys for listening again. Have a great day. Bye.